The book of Ezra, chapter number 9. Ezra, chapter 9. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Pray. Amen. What is Ezra doing in Ezra, chapter 9? He's praying. Folks, when you don't know what to do, God knows what to do. Amen? And isn't it true, wouldn't you agree with me, that a lot of the time, the reason we don't know what to do is because somebody else isn't doing what is right, and we're faced with that dilemma as to what to do or how to help or I don't know how to ask the question, just we don't know what to do. Do you trust the Lord? Don't you believe, haven't you got to believe that when God brought you into a situation, He has you there for a reason? Little bus children, I'm thinking of in days gone by. I was taking a man around to show him how to run this. It was a van route, really. We had a 15-passenger van and a long time ago. Showing this fellow where we would pick up people. And we would go from house to house and say, okay, you pick up somebody here, you pick up somebody there. It was on a Saturday, we're driving around. And then as we began to describe the places he was going to go, we would drive by places and I would say, oh, yeah, somebody got saved there. And then we'd drive a little further. Oh, yeah, somebody got saved there. And, oh, I remember this little boy over here and his family got saved. And I can still remember my wife and I don't know why, of all the times I've witnessed to somebody, but I can still remember sitting in a kind of a darkened kitchen with not enough light, talking to a man and a woman that were married, parents of a bus child, and having them both pray and ask Christ to save them. God puts you in a situation for a reason. He could have put somebody else there. He puts you there for a reason. Even young people. Young people, you're in the situation you're in for a reason. God wants to use you to make a difference. What a great song to sing tonight, Channels Only. That what we do is we take the blessings, the wisdom, the strength, the time, the resources. You can put a few more words on the end of that if you want to. And we use them to serve others for the Lord. Amen? You're a channel. We take the things from God and use them for other folks. And when you don't know what to do, prayer is a great place to start. In fact, that's the only place to start. Now, Ezra is, I won't use the word confounded. There's four or five words that are in the passage that are just fine. He is amazed. He is disappointed. He is, I won't say distraught, but pretty close. He is shocked. He cannot believe what he has heard, and I want to encourage you, tonight's message is at the end of chapter 9. If you get a little discouraged, you need to read chapter 10. It will make you feel a lot better. And I'll just go ahead and let the cat out of the bag right now. Ezra is pleading with God. Look at the simple outline here. The dismay or the confession. He says in verse 9, he says, what shall we say? What shall we say after this? There's no excuse in chapter 9 and verse 10. And then later on, he's expressing his disappointment. He says in verse 13, he says, God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve and has given us deliverances. And he's just astounded that these people... And by the way, I won't skip over these. I'll look at them in just a minute. But in verse 11 and 12, he says, we knew what was right and what was wrong. You know, sometimes you think, well, if people knew what was right, they would do it. That's been a kind of a fallacy in the way our government has dealt with things over the years. For example, they said back in the 60s, when they figured out, this, as if that took that long, that smoking causes cancer, maybe we should put a warning sign on the side of a cigarette pack. That'll solve the problem, won't it? It says, warning, cigarettes may be hazardous to your health. Yeah, they should put that on a chocolate bar, right? And so they got a little bit, And it's been a long time since I've read one, but it seems like I saw one that said something like, cigarettes will kill you. And they just quit beating around the bush and just said, if you smoke, you're going to die. People still smoke, right? It's not just knowing what's right that's enough. There's got to be something more. As you look at Ezra, his heart is the kind of heart people need to have, that they understand the seriousness of sin. And we've talked about that so much, I'm kind of straying away from that topic a little bit. In verse 15, at the end of the verse, look what he says. We cannot stand before thee because of this. This is unacceptable, and we know it's unacceptable to God. Now, after all of this prayer, it's pretty clear. Ezra, he's beside himself. He's poured his heart out to God. Now it's up to God. And that's why chapter 10 is so exciting, because some people come to him, and I'll wait until next week and tell you, but they come to him and they say, hey, there's still hope. Oh, I'm not sure I can hold back on this. Look at verse 2 in chapter 10. See verse 2 in chapter 10 at the end of the verse. The people said, yet there's still hope. You ever feel when you don't know what to do, like there's no hope? Again, the reason you're where you are is because God put you there, right? He didn't put you there to put you in a hopeless situation, did he? Let's put it this way. Even if things don't turn out the way you want them to, God's got a reason for putting you there, and he can do something with us if we'll let him. Okay? So I'll let you remain seated. I want to read this and pray and then just show you a couple of simple things. Ezra chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 10 through 15. This is the last half of Ezra's prayer of confession. Listen to his heart and ask yourself, if you have the time, does his heart match our heart? Because this is the kind of heart folks ought to have. Chapter 9, beginning in verse 10, he says, now, O our God, what shall we say after this? We have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land under which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. Verse 13, after all this has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we just have a few moments, but I pray you'd let us see a couple of things tonight that would come from you and bless these folks for their faithfulness. I pray for folks that aren't here tonight, work in their hearts and bring them back, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Just a whole lot of little odds and ends here. Back in verses 11 and 12, what he's done, and I won't take you there tonight. I've got it written down on my handout, or my notes, but he's gone back to Joshua 23, and he's quoted some things that Joshua had said to them. Now remember, Joshua was before the time of the judges. Back in Joshua's day, they had some victory, and then Joshua died, and things kind of went downhill from there. And isn't it funny how even after God is so good to us, God does great things, and then we kind of forget about that and go off and do what we want to do anyway. That's what's happened here. I hope we don't do that. And that's what happened in Joshua's day. They had been victorious. They'd taken the land, almost all of it, just a few places here and there that missed. But anyway, they'd taken almost all the land, and then here we come with the period of the judges, and They've been wicked all this whole time. And he says, you know, we knew what was right. You told us in verse 12, he quotes Joshua 23. You told us not to marry their daughters and not to give our sons or our daughters to their sons. And it's not a bad advice, by the way, folks. I can tell you without a doubt, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Amen? Young men, young ladies, when you choose a spouse, let God choose that spouse. And when God chooses that spouse, he'll give you the right one. And others, those of us here that have been married for a number of years, we can just tell you without a doubt that to stay married it requires a lot of effort. It requires labor. It requires sacrifice and so on. And it's hard sometimes to get through this and that. And you don't want to be married to somebody that's not saved. You're not going to see things the way they see them. They're not going to see things the way you see them. You got different goals. You know, we're not living thinking that this life is all there is. We have eternity, amen? And so anyway, that's what they have done, though. They've come back to the land after their captivity and all the things they had been through. And all of a sudden, they're right back, seems like where they started from. And Ezra says, we knew better. Knowing better is not enough. You got to decide to do better. Amen? So the three things I see in his confession, again, we've talked about some of them already, but there's the dismay in verse 10. It says, what shall we say? I don't know what to say. How can you excuse intentionally disobeying God? But there's still hope. Amen? We'll see that in chapter 10. And then as he goes on and tells them in verse 11 and 12 that they knew they were wrong, tells God that. In verse 13, he says, our God has punished us less than our iniquities deserve and has given us such deliverance as this. You know what I see in verse 13? God is, what's that song we sing? Grace is grace greater than all my sin. God's a gracious God. God knows our frailties. God knows our weaknesses. Folks, that don't take that and say, oh, that's a license to sin. I'm weak. I can do what I want to do. No, that's not it at all. But aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? Amen? Now, I want to draw this in. It's very important to know this. Ezra is not the one that sinned. Ezra did what was right. So why does he keep saying us? If you ever had that, the devil will give you this attitude sometimes if you're not careful. Well, they sinned and they're going to get what they deserve. No, folks, we're all in it together, amen? And in our church, it's us. It's not them and us, it's us. And Ezra, you would think if you just listen to what he's saying, you'd think he's as guilty as they are. It's not that he is as guilty as they are. It's that he cares about them enough to include him and them as one group before God. Amen? And we ought to be that way. In other words, when somebody sins, instead of saying, well, they'll get what they deserve and turn your back on them, doesn't seem to me like that's the kind of love God wants from us for one another. Do you think? I think there's something more that God wants from us. So He uses that word us all the time. He says he punished us less than our iniquities, has given us such deliverance as this. Folks, it's because of God that we're still here. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I read the book of Job. And I know what happens if God withdraws his protective hand. And I know this also, and Ezra is echoing this in verse 13, God is better to us than we deserve. And God delights in being better to us. And that's one of the reasons Ezra is so shocked. How can people sin against a God that's that good? But they do. You can see his heart. It's a good heart. So he's got this disappointment in the people in verse 13. And disappointment in what's happened. And so in verse 14 and 15, look at that and we'll be done. He says, should we again break thy commandments and join in an affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest thou not be angry? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us? how can we do this? How can people do this? When you don't know what to do, don't know how to explain it, you're just going to have to trust the Lord. He knows what they deserve in verse 14. And so in verse 15, he says this. He says, Lord, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped. In other words, we're still here. God, don't you, or folks, don't you figure if God was done with us that we wouldn't be here anymore? Why is it somebody said jokingly that God didn't just take you to heaven the minute you got saved? Because he's got a job for you to do. Got some other folks to tell, amen? Why? Now, apply that same logic to this. Why is it that God has left us in the situation we're in? Whatever that situation is. Must have a purpose for it, amen? Something for us to do. Maybe we could be the kind of people with the kind of heart that Ezra has. And when somebody else is sinning, or somebody else has broken God's law or offended God or done something that God said not to do, and what we do is we include ourselves in that situation, and we ask God to forgive and to care for us and to restore. Amen? When do you give up? I told you this story before, I think, but when I was in college, the school I went to had the longest winning streak in college football, I think. They had won 60-some-odd games in a row. And you can look it up. I should know those statistics better. That's where I went to college. But anyway, and one night they were losing at halftime. They were down by like 2.5-3 touchdowns. And I lived about 3 or 4 blocks away from the stadium, and I got disgusted and walked home. But I couldn't stand it, so I turned on the radio, and they started coming back. And they started coming back, and they tied it up. And so they didn't end their winning streak. They just now they didn't have a they'd had a tie to mess it up. A little later that year, they lost the rest of their losing. They got a losing streak. But anyway, I thought to myself, you know, I should have stuck around. Because look what happened. They came back. And don't you like to see a good comeback? What would happen if we quit before God quit? Well, let me say it differently. What would happen if we gave up before God gave up? Because, folks, we're still here. I don't think God gave up yet. Amen? I think if God had given up, you'd know it. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? You pray. Because God knows what to do. And you keep on going because God's got you in that situation to make a difference in somebody's life. How? We sang the song. By taking what God's given you and using it to be a blessing to others, however you can. And then what happens is it's not over yet. We don't quit until God quits, and God hadn't quit yet. And do you know what? The end of the book of Ezra has a happy ending. It's not that they're in heaven yet, but God gets them through this. Read verse 15 and we'll be done. O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. We remain yet escaped as it is this day. We're before thee. Now watch this. We are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. What does he mean by that? He's on his knees. I can't stand before God. I'm not worthy to stand before him. If you think about that idea of being bowing or being on his knees and on his face, I think, before God, what he's saying is, we're submitted to whatever you want, God. What if we lived our life that way? You think about it, tomorrow you're going to get up and, I've been in this situation many times where I wake up and the first thing I think of in the morning is, Oh, that situation. And we say, which one? Well, you know, several. Oh, that situation. It's still here this morning. When I woke up, it was still there. Nothing has changed. But you know what? What if you looked at it this way? You wake up and you go, well, I'm still in God's hand. And today I'm submitted to him. I'm on my face before him. I think what I'll do today is just take whatever God gives me. Now, we know how good God is. That's not such a bad way to live, amen? You look back over your life, and younger people here, you got to envy those of us that have been around 4, 5, 6 decades, because we've seen a lot. And what we've seen is a whole lot of times when we got awful worried for nothing, because God took care of us. And a whole lot of times when we didn't know what to do, and now we have a hard time even remembering the situation because God took care of it and it's gone. But we've also got some situations that we don't know what to do yet. But the very same God that got us through those is still in control. So tomorrow I'll get up, and if there's some situation, I'm thinking of one that I lived through. Rather than looking at the situation, why don't we just look at God? Say, here I am today, Lord. It's another day. I'm still here. Not consumed. It says we can't stand before you, but we can kneel here and wait until you do what you're going to do. I think you can trust God that much, don't you? Ezra could. Yep, next week's going to be a happy passage, chapter 10. Look forward to that. And if you're welcome to read ahead if you'd like and be ready. Let's all stand and pray.